You know, you may not believe, but my God told me every person that I lay hands upon, they are healed. Every single one of them. Every single one that I lay hands will be healed. Some of them will be healed for 24 hours because their faith don't want to kick in. I had a guy come in here, desperate for a job. 3 months ago, desperate for a job. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to be sleeping in a shelter if I don't get a job tomorrow." So why do you have to wait until tomorrow? I mean, make up your mind. Do you need a job today? Yes, I do. And you're not picky. No, I'm not. That's all right. He lives overseas on the People's Republic of Pennsylvania. I lay hand on that man. And we agreed that he would get a job on that very day. I lay hand on him. He drove back in a car that he borrowed. Listen carefully to this. When he got home, there was a note on his door. He had filled an application for FedEx 20 years ago. And somehow, somebody going through papers found his paper. So we can use another hand. They called. He didn't answer. That kind of person, they call them blessed of the Lord. If you don't want to answer a phone, don't have one. Don't give a number of a cell phone if you don't want to answer. Oh, it's going to burn my minutes. Then don't have a phone. Nonsense. Go to Walmart, you can get free unlimited for $29. Well, they left a note on his door. He went straight to the people's office. They interviewed him. He was hired on the spot. Now, this is not the beauty. The beauty is he had to buy a truck. And he had bankruptcy. But the bankruptcy was discharged 1 year ago. They sold him an $80,000 diesel truck on the spot. He's working and he's paying, making payment on that truck. He called me to the preacher, if all goes well, next year I finish paying this baby. And he's making only $5,000 a month. I don't know. I thought that this is little for those people who does that. He said, "Well, I may have to get another job. I make only $5,000 a month." I'm thinking, only five? Dude, I make half of what you do. What are you complaining about? But God is good. Amen. Hands were laid upon you today. You're healed. Amen. Now get your faith into gear. Huh? Get your faith into gear. I have an email right now on my computer. Lady from Dublin, Ireland. Dublin, Ireland. Her mother was diagnosed with cancer 2.5 years ago. Terminal cancer. She went on the internet and she Googled miracle. And voila, BCFC came in. She sent an email requesting agreement for the healing of her mom. Doctors had given her mother 1 week to live. There was no phone. I had to reply the email. "Okay, sis, we agree in the name of Jesus that your mother will be healed before this week is over." Reply. The email went. 3 weeks later, after I replied the email, I got a reply back. "My mother's at home. And she's helped me to take care of the farm." Now, somebody had cancer 3 weeks ago and would have died within a week. Now, she's back home helping to take care of the cows. Got another email today. She said, "Pastor Santos, mother called me last week. She asked me to sit down. And she said her Lord was ready for her. After we spoke, she had already taken care of all the papers. After we finished talking, she was sitting on her favorite chair. She just laid her head on the side and she was gone. On the autopsy, they said that she died of old age." I almost said, can we agree for her to be revived? But then she said, she's already buried, and I thank you for your prayers. Just pray for me now that God will give me wisdom what to do. I never married because I was taking care of mom. Maybe God will give me a husband. That if you have a farm and cows, you'll be very attractive for every man around town. What am I telling you here, folks? God is interested in your well-being. Amen. God is interested in your healing. And I believe that you were healed tonight. Amen. Now put your faith into action. Tonight, I told you that I was thinking about speaking the two types of faith tonight, right? The Holy Spirit kind of was harsh with me. So before you can talk about that, they have to understand that there are enemies of faith. So the title for tonight's meditation is The Enemies of Faith. Did you hear what I said? Yes. The Enemies of Faith. And we're going to start on 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And KJV, brother, will be good. Wow. This word is anointed. 1 Timothy 6, 12. I have another one here. Before the end. It's anointed. It's tasting so good. Give it in a KJV. Let's read it together. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It is interesting how this scripture starts. In this meditation tonight, we are going to deal with some hindrances to faith. The very fact that he says, fight the good fight of faith, implies that there are enemies of faith. Would you agree with me? You cannot fight something if there's no enemy to fight with. Are you with me? So the very fact that the apostle says that we should fight the good fight of faith. Is that a bad fight of faith? Yes, there is. But that's something for another day. Today I want to concentrate on the enemies of faith. And as I said, the very fact that we are told to fight the good faith suggests that there are enemies of faith. We have to deal with some of the hindrances of faith. The enemies of our faith are not what most people think they are. Most people look for enemies in the natural realm. And you know what? That is exactly the place where they're not. The enemies of faith is not on the natural realm. Let's go to Romans 10, 17 so I can build my point here. We have been told to fight the good fight of faith, which means we have an enemy. So we're going to talk about the first enemy of faith. Say with me, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what is the very first enemy of faith? I think that the greatest enemy to faith is the lack of knowledge of God's word. Say amen. Amen. What? It says in here that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, I believe that the lack of knowledge on God's word is the number one enemy of your faith. You can't believe in something that you don't know. Are we together so far? Therefore, I believe that all the enemies of faith are going to be in connection with the word and our lack of understanding or knowledge of God's word. And here's something that may mess up your way of thinking tonight. I believe if you have knowledge of God's word, nothing in the flesh can keep faith from working, because faith comes by hearing. And if you have heard the word of God, you have it. Many people are praying to get faith. How many of you have heard people praying, Lord, give me more faith? Is that right? That's the lousiest prayer somebody could make. What? If you could get faith by praying for it, then the scripture will be lying. Follow me here. If you could get faith by praying for faith, the scripture would be lying. And we know that the scripture doesn't lie. They are trying to get something that only the word of God can give. You can't get faith by praying for it. You will get faith by hearing the word of God. And this is why I say to anybody who will listen, instead of listening to Christian hip-hop, get a Bible CD and put it on while you're driving. I have a little paper on the back. If you have a smartphone, take one for free. You can just go on your browser and download Bible.is. Faith Come by Hearing is the name of the company. And they are busy giving Bible to soldiers. Last year, you gave 1,000 thumb drive with the Bible to 1,000 soldiers. But more Christian faith did that. What I love to do, especially when my wife is traveling, my noise level, comfortable noise level is 3.25. So I turn my cell phone on. I have a little box that you could put the thing in. Put Faith Come by Hearing. And then I start in the book of Psalms. If I have volume 2.5 or 3, I fall asleep. Once I slept, I can't hear it. If I have 4, I can't sleep because it's too loud. 3.25 is good enough that I will fall asleep. And while I'm sleeping, I'm hearing the word of God. And sometimes it's like the Bible characters jump into my dreams. And this way, I can go through the Bible 8 to 10 times a year, listening to the word of God. So when I get up, I have to brush my teeth, pause. Do what I have to do. Take the phone, hook up on my car radio, and we continue. I have done the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 10 days. You have no idea how much that builds up your faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So the greatest enemy of faith, I believe the number one enemy of faith, is the lack of knowledge of the word of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So what is the second greatest enemy of God's of faith? This one's a little messed up. The second greatest enemy of our faith is the sense of unworthiness. And I think that we all have dealt with this one time or another in our lives. A sense of unworthiness and a sense of lack of faith go hand in hand. I'll say it again. the feeling, the sense of unworthiness. I'm not worthy. And I don't have enough faith. They walk hand in hand. I believe that this is one of the two most dangerous weapons that the devil can use against the Church of the Living God. And many people feel unworthy because of the leftover of their religiousness. One may ask, how do I fight this? The answer to this is, your worthiness is in Jesus Christ. What? God does not hear and answer your prayer, or heal your body, or give you the gift of the Holy Ghost on the basis of your individual worthiness. Say amen. Amen. If that would be the case, none of us would ever get it. Yet, not knowing the word, so many let this defeat them. This sense of unworthiness. They often say, I'm not good enough. You know anybody who has ever done that? And the big problem is that individuals look at themselves. And they look from the natural standpoint. We are always acquainted with all of our own physical shortcomings. We are all acquainted with our mistakes, our faults, our failures. And when we do that, we are looking at ourselves through a flesh standpoint, not God's standpoint. And the devil will use this as a weapon. I have met many people with these problems. They have struggled with it, which causes them torment feelings for many, many years, thinking that they are not worthy. Oh, I do not deserve this blessing. And many of them say that because they think this is being humble. I think this is being stupid. I am weak and unworthy. From a natural standpoint, that may be true. But from the biblical standpoint, it is not true. Prove it. I will prove to you right now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Folks, once the light of God from God's words dawn on us, the devil won't try to take it away because he can't take God's word from us if we are living righteously before God. When God's word enters in us, it gives light. It gives life. And the light of God can't be removed. The devil can't take away the light of God in our lives. He will do the best to confuse us and to keep us from walking in the light. I believe the devil will go as far as to say, that's true, all right. The prayer of faith works, but you can't pray that prayer of faith because you ain't good enough. You are too unworthy. That is a lie. And many times, We sided with the devil. When we come to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I like what I hear here. Let's read it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, isn't that something? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old stuff has passed away. So what you mean, preacher? When you come to Christ and receive Christ as your personal Savior wholeheartedly, whatever may have happened on the past will be expunged. The only way that the devil will be able to do anything to you is if you willingly decide to go back on the mud. I have said that all my life. Jesus is a gentleman. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He could kick the door in and come in. He does not do that. He's expecting you and I to open the door so he can come in. So, in God's standpoint, when you came to Christ, you became a new creation. What about the old stuff? They have all gone, passed away. God made everything new. It's a new beginning. When you go to Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, writing to the church in Ephesus, the following words, 2 Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God preferred that we should walk in them. I can't understand what is the connection. The connection is that we did not make ourselves new creatures. He made us new creatures. And I don't believe that God would make a new creature that is unworthy. Are you with me here? Listen to Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on. So you are created in God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, the idea that we are unworthy is an enemy of faith. I can boast in Christ Jesus. Why? Because I have been created as a new man. You have been created as a new man according to God in true righteousness. Not righteousness that comes of the flesh, from the flesh, but the righteousness that comes through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I didn't try to be good to achieve righteousness. I was made good through Jesus Christ's righteousness. So when people have that sense of unworthiness, oh, I am unworthy. I don't deserve. I'm not good enough. That is an enemy of faith. That person can't accomplish much because they think they do not deserve the blessings from God. And this is why sometimes I ask people, did God made an unworthy new creature? Would he make a new creature that wasn't good enough to stand in his presence? Maybe he made a mistake. The problem that many people face that is that instead of believing what the Bible says about you and I, the real us, The man on the inside, many are looking on the outside at the flesh and on the physical shortcomings. He made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we should know that He did not make any unworthy new creature. That would be belittling the work of God. So what you're saying, our worthiness is in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you a secret. You just look a whole lot better in Christ Jesus than in any other way. Did y'all hear what I said? Y'all look much better in Christ Jesus than in any other way. In other words, what you're saying, preacher, God sees you in Christ Jesus. He doesn't look, or He doesn't really see me. He doesn't really see you. What do you mean? He looks at Jesus and sees you and I in Jesus. And this is what gives us the confidence to come before God with all boldness and pray and know that our prayers are answered because somebody else paid the price for our righteousness and made us a new person in Christ Jesus. Folks, your worthiness is Jesus Christ's righteousness. When we learn that thing, your life will take a new direction. Faith will be released in all aspects of your life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Says the following words. For He made Him who knew no sin that we So I told you that the first enemy of faith is ignorance, lack of knowledge of God's word. Your second enemy of faith is the feeling of unworthiness, which automatically walk hand in hand with, I don't have enough faith. And I want you to understand that Jesus Christ was made sin for you, that you might become righteousness of God. You have the same rights that Jesus Christ has. And this is why when you and I speak to a spirit of sickness, they got to listen. Because we are on the same level of Jesus. We've been made right before God. So what are you trying to say, preacher? Because we are in Him, we have become righteousness of God. Therefore, a sense of unworthiness is a denial of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And is also a denial of our standing in Christ. A privilege that God has granted to us. The Word of God will help you and I to rid ourselves of this sense of unworthiness. And when we are rid of that, the sense of lack of faith will live along with it. These are just tormenting twins that came from the pits of hell to rob you and I from the blessings that God has secured for us. So what you say? When God blesses you with a nice blessing, say, praise the Lord. Amen. Instead of, oh my God, I'm not worthy. I don't have enough faith to earn this. Those are two twins that came from hell. Send them back to the pits of hell. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I will give you one more element, enemy of faith, and I'm going to stop. Is there another one? Yes. The third enemy of faith is substitute faith. What? The third enemy of faith is substitute faith. And many of you here have, from time to time, used substitute faith. Now I didn't understand. What is substitute faith? Is when we substitute faith for hope, or what we call mental faith on the last sermon. I am not understanding. How many times do you pray for people? How are you feeling? Well, I hope that the Lord will finish healing me. Can I hear an amen? I hope that the Lord will continue the healing in me. That is the third element of faith. Substitutional faith. When we substitute faith for hope. And I know somebody can quote some scriptures here. One time a man said to his friend, who was starting on a journey, on a trip, I hope and pray that you have a safe journey. How many times have you heard that? I hope and pray that everything goes well with you. Don't we hear that so often? That is substitutional faith. I don't believe it. Okay, then show me in the Bible what it does say that God hears the prayer of hope. There's a $50 right now to anybody who show me scripture that God hears the prayer of hope. There isn't any verse in the Bible where it says that God hears the prayers of hope. The Bible speaks of the prayer of faith. Listen to James 5:15. Brother, put up there James 5:15. And the prayer will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If prayer of hope could work, it would say, and the prayer of hope will save the sick. There isn't, but many, many, many people in the church are living and praying the prayer of hope, which is an enemy of faith. Hope is insecure and uncertain. Hope is insecure and uncertain. But faith is the convictions of things that we don't see and the assurance of things we are waiting to get. The third enemy of faith is substitutional faith. In this case, hope. The Bible says that righteous people shall live by hope. Oh, faith, that's right. So what you're trying to say, preacher? If the Bible had said that the prayer of hope will do anything, we would all automatically have results. Can I hear an amen? What did you say? If the Bible had said that prayer of hope will do it, we would all automatically have results. What's the problem with hope? is a natural thing for humans to do. Did you hear what I said? Hope is a natural thing for humans to do. Faith is the natural thing for the spiritual people to live for. Watch this. Give him Mark 11, 24. Watch this. Now, let me wrap up here because it's already 8:25. Before I get cussed out here, and we will continue next Wednesday or the Wednesday after. Watch this. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, hope that you will receive. Oh, that's right. Believe that you receive and you have them. Brother, let's get even holier. Give him the King James here. There you go. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, hope that you receive them and you shall have them. In other words, hope does not have a place when you and I are praying the prayer of faith. So you say it's a sin to have hope? No, it's weak to have hope. It's better to have faith, because when we pray in faith, it says that we will have, we will receive, we shall have whatsoever we desire when we pray. When you get out tonight, look in your parking lot. The curbs of the parking lot is already here. 3 weeks ago, we were praying for construction to resume. Those who come into the morning prayer knows about it. Amen? So just take a look when you leave. We're going to wrap up right now. All the concrete curbs has already been placed all around where the parking lot will be. Huh? The little stone is already there. We might have our parking lot done this weekend. And I am excited because by Saturday we will have $199,000 to pay for it. Hey, this is faith, not hope. How? I don't know and I don't care. I don't have to know. I don't have to understand. A fish bought enough money for Peter to pay taxes for Jesus and the 12. A bird could fly with a pearl in its beaks and drop it right in front of us, and we suddenly get money to pay the whole thing. I don't know. God has his ways of working, and I don't care how it is. As long as God is doing, I'm good with it. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I don't know, but I'm going to agree with you that you have whatever you prayed for tonight. Amen? Whatever you pray for tonight. Huh? I'm going to agree with you that you're going to have whatever you prayed for tonight. Amen. I'm not hoping. Huh? We are believing that you're going to have whatever you pray for tonight. Huh? Whatever you pray for tonight, we're going to have it. You're going to have whatever you prayed for tonight. Huh? It's a must. Right? It's no prayer of hope. It's prayer of belief. It's on the book. Now, I like the way that the New Living Translation puts the same scripture. Watch this. I tell you, you can pray for a few things. Amen. And if you hope, tell them it will be yours. It will be yours. It's going to be yours. There's no way around this, huh? It's going to be yours. It's going to be yours. There's no way around this, huh? It's going to be yours. Huh? That car? In the right? We're going to agree on that car? It's going to be yours. Amen? You ready? It's going to be yours. Sis, it's going to be yours. Thomas, it's already yours. Amen? It's already yours. It's on the book. Isn't that so, sis? It's already yours. It's already yours. What are you talking about? It's already yours. Amen? It's already yours, brother. It's already yours. It's the book. If you, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe, not hope, you've received it. It will be yours. No way around it. It will be yours. Keep believing. Amen? Brother, put the backslider translation in there, please. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything. So that includes a baby, that includes a car, that includes a husband, that includes a job, that includes a house. It says everything, right? Ranging from to large. Include the as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. Stand on your feet. Three enemies of faith. Lack of knowledge of God's word. Number two, sense of unworthiness. And number three, substitutionary faith, which we call hope. We're going to get rid of them. Amen? Father God, I pray that your church may jump into the boat, huh? Step into the water and walk along side by side by you. Because you're not a God of hope, you're a God of faith. We're not bashing on hope, but we'd rather be people of faith. I pray that everything that has been prayed for tonight, we believe without any doubt in our hearts, will be unfolded within the next 7 days. Make love grow where love needs to grow. Make understanding grow where understanding needs to grow. I command the bleeding to stop right now. Whoever has a bleeding problem right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that body. I command the fountain to stop and to be sealed right now in the name of Jesus. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe seated.